Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Ephesians 6 as we're again continuing, as we're getting close to the end of our Ephesians series. In the next, four or five weeks or so, we'll be wrapping up this series in Ephesians. But we're continuing through. And last week, we began a new series titled Preparing for Battle. And as we entered into this section of Scripture here in Ephesians 6, titled The Armor of God. And so we're talking about preparing for battle. And last week, if you remember, we started off talking about the spiritual battle that Paul tells us that we're in. It's not a battle against flesh and blood. It's not against people. It's not against humans. It's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of this dark and fallen world. And you see, the only way to battle the spiritual enemy is with the spiritual armor of the Lord. And so we're going to dive into His Word and look at that spiritual armor this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Ephesians 6. And we're going to pick up here, as we did verses 10 through 12 last week, we're going to pick up verses 13 through 18, which we're really going to be in over the next 6 or 7 weeks here, walking through these scriptures together. But beginning here in verse 13, it says this. It says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, And verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints." So right off here, as we dive into 13, Paul tells us to put on the full armor of God. Now you got to know here, if you know kind of the context of Paul in this time, when Paul is writing this, we have to remember that he was under house arrest, okay? And he had a Roman soldier that was guarding him at all times. So every day he saw the soldier and he saw the gear of the soldier and what they wore. And he knew the importance of the uniform that the soldier would wear and how it protected the soldier. And so Paul here, in this time, he had this great picture of the armor, the physical armor that protected the soldier. And he was able to relate that physical armor to the spiritual armor that we need to protect us, that we need to clothe ourselves with to prepare us for battle. So Paul starts here with a key element of the armor. In verse 14, he then says, after he says, put on the full armor, he then begins to break down those pieces of armor. And he starts with a key element. In verse 14, he says, stand firm with a belt of truth buckled around your waist. Now, in these days, you got to remember, they didn't, you know, wear pants or camouflage, you know, camis like we do in the military today, right? They had, you know, the kind of robe-like garments that they wore. And so the belt had some important things that it did in this uniform. One, it kind of helped pull up their robe. You know, I don't want to say dress, you know, but it really helped pull up their dress and cinch it in so that they could move about without tripping over themselves, okay? I don't know if you've ever worn a dress or not, but let me just tell you, it's... you know, I've in youth ministry, I've done all sorts of things. So dressed up for different items or whatever. So I won't even show you some of the videos of me doing stuff in my old church. So we'll just go away from that. But it would pull it up and hold it into place. But the belt was far more than just that. That enabled them to move around. But the belt also kind of held the uniform together. Burying myself this morning, huh? But it held the uniform together. As a matter of fact, the breastplate that came around to cover them and protect them, which we'll talk about next week, it actually attached to the belt. So without the belt, the breastplate would kind of fly all over the place. It wouldn't stay cinched down. Also on the belt, we would find that they would, that's where they would carry the thing to carry their sword. So without having the belt, they'd have no place to kind of put their sword as they were running or doing whatever they needed to do, and to be able to draw their sword. And so the belt was a very important part of the soldier's uniform. Without the belt, the soldier's armor would literally fall apart, and they wouldn't have all the things that they needed for battle. So Paul tells us to put on the belt of truth, because the belt of truth holds all the other components of our spiritual armor in place. You see, without truth, nothing else matters. Without the truth, our lives are simply a lie. You see, to fight the battle with confidence, we need to know the truth. As God's word says, the truth shall set you free. So it's important that we understand and know truth as we walk in our relationship with the Lord. I want to read a scripture to you, John 8:44. If you want to flip there, you can. I didn't put things on the screen this week. But John 8:44 is a scripture I want to read to you this morning. It says this. It says, "He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Now, I think most of us can guess who this scripture is referring to. This scripture is talking about the devil. This scripture is talking about Satan. And so why is it so important that we know the truth? Because we have a deceiver out there. We have an enemy that loves to lie and loves to deceive us, and he loves to fill our heads with all sorts of things that aren't true. And he starts at the end. We've heard these things our whole life. The enemy tries to feed these things into our heads and tell us these things that aren't true. And we've heard these things all of our life. Growing up, from the youngest of ages, when he begins to pour these lies, and we hear things like, "You're not worthy. Nobody loves you. You'll never amount to anything. How could God ever love a sinner like you? Yeah, God forgives, but what you have done is beyond forgiving. You're a failure. You might as well just quit. Give up now." We've heard these from the youngest of age, and they're the lies of the enemy. And then sometimes he actually does the complete opposite. He manipulates it the other way, right? He says, "Oh, you're good. You're so good. You don't need to listen to this stuff. You're above all this," right? Or "You've got it all together. Why do you need to listen to other people's advice? You have all the answers. You don't need to listen to that stuff. They should be taking advice from you." He doesn't care how he brings the lies, but if he can spin your head and manipulate you. I mean, the Pharisees, there was the Pharisees. They thought they were all this and all that. Lies of the enemy. These are the lies of the enemy, because like the scripture says, he is a liar. Here's the thing we have to realize too. Not only is he a liar, he's a smart liar. He's a very smart liar. He's a deceiver who twists and manipulates the truth in ways that make it seem believable, in ways that actually sound true. Maybe that is true. He will even manipulate Scripture. He'll pull it out of context and try to use it to support his lies. We saw him do that with Jesus. He would say, "It is written," right? You know, he'd say these scriptures and try to get Jesus to fall into these traps. But he tries to manipulate the scriptures and use them in ways that, this is okay for me to do. Look right here. And he completely pulls them out of context. He twists and he manipulates however he can. So if the enemy is such a deceiver and he manipulates, how do we know what is God and what is a lie of the enemy? How do we decipher between truth and lies? I have a friend who went to Christian school with growing up through elementary school, and then after that we went different ways for middle school and high school. Didn't really see him a whole lot. We went to church together early in those years too, and didn't see him a whole lot through middle school and high school. But after I got out of high school, actually it was when I was in the military, or after getting out of the military, I came back home and was part-time working for my dad and part-time doing youth ministry, and I worked for my dad on Fridays, and we were part of this Bible study group. And his dad, this friend of mine, was part of the Bible study. And I was like, hey, you're Jared's dad, you know. And so he was a part of this Bible study. And in one of the times we were talking about some different things having to do probably with what we're talking about here, and he began to share about Jared, a friend of mine. He began to share about his son, how his son had become a banker. And, you know, teller and working his way through in banking. And he began to share how his son went through this training to spot counterfeits. And the thing is I would think, in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, how do you spot a counterfeit? How do you spot, well, you would see all different types of counterfeits and all these things. You'd see all these different ways of how people counterfeit, and so you can see them and know them. But the way that they teach you to spot counterfeits is completely opposite. What they do is they show you the real thing again and again, and you hold real hundreds and fifties and twenties, whatever they're working with, and you touch it and you feel it and you smell it and you look at it, and they show it to you again and again and again and again and over, you're touching the money, you're feeling the money, you're smelling the money, you're looking at it. And you get to know the money so well that you know it's so good that as soon as they try to slip a counterfeit in on you in this training, it's like you're playing with it, you're touching, all of a sudden it's like, wait, whoa. Looks kind of right. It feels something's off here, and you're able to spot the counterfeit because you know the real thing so well. And you see, the more and more we fill our lives with the truth, the easier it will be to recognize the lies. When we know the truth, when we are in the truth and seeking the truth and experiencing the truth, then when the enemy tries to bring the lie, whoa, wait a second, we can spot it. We need to seek the truth. We need to be desperate for the Lord to reveal his truth in our lives. You see, knowing the truth is one of the ways that we'll be able to battle the attacks of the enemy. So how do we fill our lives with the truth? How do we make sure that that's what we're pouring in? And I think there are two answers here, two ways that we experience truth and understand and know truth in our life. And one's right here. It's the Word of God. Right here, this is truth. The Word of God is truth, and this is where we get our truth from. As a matter of fact, Psalms 119, 160 says this. It says, all your words are true. Or another translation I like even better, it says, the entirety of your word is truth. This right here is the truth. We need to be reading this. We need, if we want the truth, we need to be going to the source right here. God's word is truth. We need to be asking the Lord to reveal his truth to us on a regular basis. And the truth is this, that if we're only opening up this thing on Sunday morning to read the scripture, then the fact is that we're missing out. The fact is that we're making ourselves vulnerable to the lies of the enemy, because this can't be a one-time-a-week thing. If we want to know the truth, if we want to be able to decipher truth from the lies, we need to be in this thing regularly, spending time in his word and seeking his word continually. And I know we're not perfect. And I will tell you, I would wish I could tell you I'm in this thing 7 days a week. But there's those times where things come and I'd wake up and, oh, I'm late and I don't get into his word like I should. But we need to be doing it the best that we can, as often as we can, diving into his word, because his word is the truth. The only way we're going to know it is by reading it and getting it into our heads and by getting it into our hearts. And this goes then hand in hand with the second way we know the truth. So we know the truth by diving into his word, seeking his word, allowing it to be into our heart. And then we know it through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Word and Spirit. John 16:13 says this. It says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, it's talking about the Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. It's through the Holy Spirit that as we dive into his word, that God reveals the truth to us through his word and through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's our direct connection to the truth. And when we seek the Lord and spend time in his presence, it allows the Holy Spirit to reveal his truth to us. It's through God's word and through the power of the Holy Spirit that we're able to know what is true and what is lies. And knowing the truth again is one of those ways that we're able to battle the attacks of the enemy. But you know, the most important question we have to ask ourselves is this. Because I think a lot of us know and believe this is the truth. A lot of us know and believe that God is true and His Spirit will reveal truth to us. But the question we have to ask ourselves is this. Do we really want to know the truth? Do we really want to know the truth? You see, we live in a world where the motto is, it's easier to ask forgiveness than to ask permission, right? We don't want to know if it's okay to do that. We just want to do it and assume that it is. Do we really want to know the truth? Because I think sometimes many of us, we don't want to know the truth. We want to think that, hey, I'm okay in my little world here. What I'm doing, it's okay. I don't need to change. I'm okay. I don't want to hear what the truth is because then I have to respond to it. Do we really want to know the truth? Do we want to be told that, well, God's word, cheating on your taxes, it's wrong? What? No, I don't want to hear that. Come on, they cheat me. Why can't I cheat them back? We don't want to be told that we're supposed to honor and respect our boss that we can't stand, right? We don't want to be told that sex outside of marriage is a sin. We don't want to be told that the life we're living isn't pleasing or honoring to the Lord. We don't want to be told, most importantly, that we need to change because we like our little world. Do we really want to know the truth? Because it's easier to ask forgiveness, right, than to know the truth. But the truth is the enemy is experiencing victory in many areas of our lives because we're failing to put on that piece of armor called truth. He's experiencing victory because we choose not to put on the belt of truth. Knowing the truth can be difficult, but knowing that truth is what helps us experience victories in our lives. It's what helps us become who God's called us to be. Because anything but the truth will ultimately lead to failure, will ultimately lead to destruction, will lead to struggles and difficulties that unfortunately are often greater and harder to get through than if we would have just experienced the truth in the first place. Whether we realize it or not, it's always easier to do things the right way first. We don't want to do it that way. I'll ask questions later. But most often, it's always easier to do things the right way first. We struggle with this as men, I think, especially the family's heading out on a trip. Give you a little illustration here. You're heading out on a trip and your wife grabs the map, right? And you think, I don't need a map. I'm a guy. I know where I'm going, right? I know where I'm going. I'll get us there. And what ends up happening? You know, somewhere along the way, you missed a turn. You're like, and you don't want to admit it, you know, to your wife at that time. You don't want to say, yeah, I think I missed a turn. I think I'm lost. You're just like, no, I know where I'm going. I'm okay. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. And finally, after circles and like, didn't we pass that tree three times already? What, you know, finally, your wife's like, there's a map right here. It will tell you where to go. It will, you know, it's funny to look at, but the thing is you're so lost, you don't even know where you are on the map. And then your wife's like, well, if you just pull over and ask directions, right? If you just ask some advice, someone can give you directions. No, that'll take more time. Oh, we'll get there. Let me see. You know, trying to figure it out. And what happens? You are lost. And finally, after going in circles and whatever, you finally stop and ask directions and you get back on track and you get to where you're going. You see, when we fail to read the map and we fail to ask for advice from the Holy Spirit, we end up lost and way off course. And the reality is it ends up taking us twice as long to get where we were going in the first place, or at least where God wanted us to go in the first place. You see, God has given us His Word and He's given us His Holy Spirit to know the truth. It's our map and our advice and how to get to where he wants us to go. But we have to want to know the truth, and we have to seek it. Now, here's the thing. Not only is it important then that we know the truth, it's also important that we are ourselves people of truth. You see, because not only does the enemy try to deceive us, but he tries to manipulate us into deceiving others or using others around us to deceive us. I doubt many of us in this room like to be lied to, right? I don't like to be lied to. I want people to be honest and forthright with me, right? I don't think we like to be lied to. And so if this is true, and if we follow his word where it says, right, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, if we put those two together, then it means that we'll always be truthful and honest with others, right? That's what we're supposed to be, to walk in truth. Proverbs 21:8 says this. It says, a lying witness is unconvincing, but a person who speaks truth is respected. This is why it's so important that we learn to operate and walk in truth. It's because Satan would desire nothing more than to destroy our credibility. He would love to destroy our credibility. As followers of Christ, Satan wants nothing more than to destroy our witness and our credibility in him. Now think about this. If you're a witness in a court case, right, and the defense can totally destroy your credibility, what does that do for your testimony? What does that do for you as a witness, right? It makes it worthless. It makes your testimony worthless. If the enemy can destroy our credibility, he can ruin our testimony and our witness to others. And we see this happen. We see this happen time and time again, even pastors. We see those pastors, these great pastors, and we put them on this pedestal and we think, you know, these amazing things about them, and it is, but what happens is they begin to fall into these lies that they are these great people and that oh, the enemy can't get to me. And what happens? We see them fail, right? We see them fall and make those mistakes where they lose their credibility, and then people start making jokes about them, and it just becomes this horrible thing. And I've seen great pastors fail in those ways and lose their credibility. Now, can God restore that? Yes, but guess what? It takes a lot of time. And there are some people in this world that they'll never trust them again. The enemy loves to destroy our credibility. And one of the enemy's biggest deceptions is to tell us, oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's just a little lie. It's not a big deal. It's not going to hurt anybody. But that's how it starts, right? It starts little and then it gets a little bigger and it begins to grow. He tries to convince us that lying, it's not a big thing. And I think in our world today, it's true. The world around us doesn't think that lying is a big thing. There are those that lie regularly at the drop of a hat. There's a book titled The Day America Told the Truth. And in it, they talk about some of the surveys. And it says that 91% of those surveyed in this book, The Day America Told the Truth, 91% said they lie routinely about matters that they think aren't that big of a deal. 91%, that's a lot of people. That would be everybody except me in this room. So, no, just kidding. But that's a lot of, I mean, seriously, I mean, I'd be one. There's someone in here that tells the truth. I don't know who it is, not me, but no. But 91% of those surveyed routinely lie about matters that they think are small little matters. 36% lie about extremely important matters. And that's still a high amount, 36. And they're talking, you know, about to your spouse about, you know, bad things and that kind of stuff. 36% lie about important matters. 86% lie regularly to their parents. If you're a parent in here, 86% of your children don't always tell you the truth, okay? Sorry, my nephew over there, he's like, oh great, you just ruined it for my mom. 86% lie to their parents. 75% to friends. That's amazing. When 75% people lie to their friends, 73% lie to siblings, brothers and sisters, and 69% lie to their spouses. Okay, so think about that. If you're in this room, that means one and a half of you, of your couple that's here, lies to the other, okay? All right, and I'm not saying us as a whole, but in general, in the world around us, these are astounding numbers that the enemy has deceived us and has done a good job of deceiving people that it's okay. It's not that big of a deal. For many people, lying is natural in this world, but the thing is this, and the thing we have to remember is that sooner or later, it'll come back to bite us. Sooner or later, it's always found, it's always revealed. There's a story told of four high school boys who couldn't resist the temptation to skip their morning classes. Each of them seemed to have the bad case of spring fever. The sun was out and, you know, oh, come on, let's go skip. Let's just skip the first part and then we'll go back after lunch. And so after lunch, they showed up at school and they all reported to their teacher that their car had got a flat tire on their way to school. We've heard this one before, right? And that's why we're late. We had to, you know, fix our tire. We had to do this, had to go back, blah, blah, blah. You know, the story goes on. And much to their relief, the teacher smiled and said, okay, that's fine. I'm glad you're here, but you guys missed a quiz this morning, so take your seats and get out a pencil and paper and you guys can do the makeup quiz. So they sat down in their seats, they got ready, and then the teacher approached them and said, just one simple question this morning. If you can just write down on your page which tire was flat. Sooner or later, the truth comes out. Sooner or later, when we lie, we get busted. And when it does, we lose the credibility of those around us. We lose the trust of those who have trusted us. You see, God has called us to live a life of truth, to walk in His truth. And that truth will actually help us battle against the enemy. Each day we need to be putting on that armor to protect us from the enemy. It'll protect us in the midst of those battles. As a matter of fact, not only will it protect us, but there are times that when we wear that armor, it will actually prevent us from experiencing battles in our life. That when we're wearing that battle or that armor, that because of that armor, it keeps us from having to face some of those battles. You see, when we walk in truth, it'll do two things. One, it keeps us from falling into the traps of the enemy, right? Because we're able to spot, no, I'm not going there. Because what happens if we go there? That's when the real battle begins, when we begin to go there, right? So it keeps us from falling in the traps of the enemy. And then it also will keep us from trapping ourselves. It'll keep us from trapping ourselves. Like it says in John 8:32, it says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's what this is about, that through the armor of God, as we fill our lives with His truth, as we clothe ourselves with His truth, it actually brings freedom to our lives. We can experience that freedom as we no longer fall into the traps of the enemy and we no longer trap ourselves. His truth brings freedom, and His desire for us is to walk in that freedom. One of the greatest ways that we can prepare for battle, that we can be prepared for what the enemy brings against us, is that we seek the truth, that we clothe ourselves with His truth. That's what it's about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You that, Lord, You give us armor, that, Lord, You talk about this spiritual battle that we're in, and, Lord, how the enemy can come at us from all different angles and different directions, Lord Jesus. But Lord, You don't leave us out there hanging. You don't throw us into this battle with nothing to protect ourselves, Lord Jesus. You have given us Your armor. And Lord, Your word says that if we put on Your armor, if we're faithful to follow the things of You, that when all is said and done, we will stand. We can stand because, Lord, You have already won the victory, Lord Jesus. You have already conquered sin and death, Lord. And so, Lord, as we live out our lives on this world, it's about walking in Your victory, Lord Jesus. It's about walking with Your armor, clothing us so that we can experience the victory in those battles around us. It's when we don't have the armor, when we don't walk in the truth and the other things that we're going to talk about in the coming weeks, it's then, Lord, that the battles come. It's then that we fall into these traps and into these lies, Lord, that keep us from experiencing the life that You have for us, Lord. So, Lord, we thank You for Your armor. We thank You that Your armor protects us. Help us to be people who put on the things of you. We talked about last week, Lord, it's that putting on the character of Christ, that we put on the things of Christ in our life. And Lord, we know that Jesus Christ was a man of truth. Lord, help us to be people that follow in his footsteps and put his truth in our lives, Lord, that we walk in the truth in anything and everything we do, Lord Jesus. Lord, we know our world has deceived us. The enemy has deceived us that lying is okay. Oh, everybody does it, but Lord, we are not called to be everybody. We are called to be your people. We are called to live the life of Christ, to say no to the things of the world and yes to the things of you, Lord. So help us. Help us in this battle. Help us in this war to put on the things of you. Allow your armor to protect us, Lord. Allow us to be able to stand firm and to stand strong in you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for these things. I just pray that, Lord, you allow this word to speak to our hearts. As, Lord, we're all at different areas in our journey and in our walk with you. And, Lord, you use specific areas of these messages to speak to us as individuals. Help us today to draw, Lord, what are you speaking to me? What are you speaking to us as individuals, Lord? What are the areas in my life that I haven't sought the truth? What are the areas in my life, Lord, where I've been not speaking the truth in the way that I should? Lord, challenge us in these ways. Help us to become who you've called us to be. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how your truth, Lord, reveals so much in our lives. Allow your truth to be spoken again and again into our lives. Help us this week, Lord, to pick up your word throughout the week and allow you to speak into our lives, Lord. Lord, we thank you for these things. We thank you for what you're doing. We give you the glory and honor for this day and for what you're doing in our lives, Lord. We praise you. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.